Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. About 25 years ago, a new sound began to creep into the rock music world. Well, it was actually a combination of two older sounds, two sounds that you might have thought were incompatible. On the one hand, you had softly sung, dreamy vocal harmonies, and on the other hand, you had a squall of distorted electric guitars. The band called My Bloody Valentine found an interesting way to combine the two. The style became known as shoegaze. It would bloom and flower and disappear in the early 90s. But now, My Bloody Valentine is back, and some people are talking about shoegaze again. And others are wondering what this first group of people are talking about. What kind of word is that? What does it even mean? Well, all of those questions will be answered later in the Soundcheck Guide to Shoegaze. But to begin, here's another band that bloomed and flowered and then said it was going to disappear. That's the New York indie rock band, The Walkmen. They spent a decade making some really well-received albums, but then last year they announced they were going on what they called extreme hiatus. No more Walkmen. But lots of Walkmen spin-offs. Already at least three former members of the group have announced solo projects, and perhaps none more unexpected than the record that Walter Martin is doing. The Walkmen's former multi-instrumentalist and songwriter is readying an album for May, which is called We're All Young Together. It's an album of family-friendly songs. They're fun and catchy, but they're also clever and multi-layered. And for some reason, a lot of them mention animals. Here is Walter Martin and some of his musical friends to give us a live preview of that forthcoming record. This song is called Rattlesnakes.
Well, anacondas are big and mean. They'll squeeze you so hard that you burst your spleen. And a cobra snake will eat you in your hat. But if you play him a song, he forgets where he's at. The cottonmouth's got a poison tongue. They look kind of pretty, but they're not much fun. And a black snake, they don't do too much. They just lay in the grass and look at the bugs. But rattlesnakes were not like all the other snakes. Rattlesnakes, we got musical tails that we shake. We shake, shake, shake them while you clap your hands. We don't want to bite you. All we really want to do is dance. All the other snakes don't understand. Python's stomach can get so big he can swallow up a whole full-size pig. And a copperhead slithers through the sticks. His poison won't kill you, but it'll make you kind of sick. And a moray eel isn't actually a snake, but he's ugly and lives in underwater caves. I'm tired of talking about all these other snakes right now when there's only one snake. make worth talking about. Rattlesnakes, we got like all the other snakes. Rattlesnakes, we got musical tails that we shake. We shake, shake, shake them while you clap your hands. We don't wanna bite you, all we really wanna do is snakes don't understand. Rattlesnakes, 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 rattlesnakes.
Rattlesnakes. Song is called Rattlesnakes, as you perhaps could have guessed. Walter Martin here in the Soundcheck studio playing guitar, with Josh Kaufman playing electric guitar and Jamie Krentz playing the upright bass, and everybody singing, which... Walter, first of all, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Everybody singing kind of seems to be part of the point of this forthcoming record, We're All Young Together.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's nice to... I don't think I've ever heard Jamie Krentz, who's playing bass, I've known for my whole life, basically. I don't think I've ever heard him sing before today. So I'm glad that this project was able to do that.
So this is... You know, it's clearly different from what you've been doing with the Walkmen. I mean, first of all, you're here with a classical guitar,
uh-huh.
as opposed to keyboards or bass,
right.
You know, the things
right.
sort of become used to seeing you do.
Right.
So were these songs that had been sort of percolating for a while and you'd just been itching to get the chance to...
I think sort of the style has been, the lyrical and musical style has been percolating for a long time. But these actual songs didn't come together till, or didn't start sort of making sense until, you know, after we finished the last Walkman record, and I really started getting serious about doing it.
Mm-hmm. What, when you say that style, you'd been thinking about that style for a while, what is that style?
I don't know. It's really like, I don't know how to describe, I really think it's just the kind of music that I like. I really don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I like stuff that's sort of kind of funny, I guess, and mm-hmm. kind of has sort of a definitely a funny side to it, but also has some sort of something warm to say, I guess.
A lot of the songs, you know, they talk about animals, you know, tigers
right.
and snakes
yeah.
and monkeys in the zoo and stuff. And after a while, you realize, well, these kind of are love songs, you know? The one about, I don't want to be a tiger unless you're a tiger too, for example.
Right, yeah, right, totally. I mean, I tried to try, you know, it was fun writing it because it's fun to think of, whatever. What do you put in like a sort of a family record, a kid's record? So it's fun to write about tigers. If I were a tiger, I had the title. I thought that would be a fun song to write. But then I thought it would be cool if it was like a love song. So like, you know, of course you can't actually decide to be a tiger. But if you're like could decide, then I'd only do it if you were a tiger too. I thought that was kind of funny. Or
yeah. And for, you know, as with so many, you know, sort of classic kids shows, cartoons, records, there's a little something for everybody, you know, like even on the record, on the recorded version of Rattlesnakes, the kind of snake charmer melody that comes
right.
and goes a couple of places.
Right, yeah, yeah, I don't know. To me that just sounded funny. I just thought it was, I guess the beginning of the Cure song, Killing an Arab, has that on it.
Right.
So I just like that sound. I just like sort of surf guitar.
So you refer to it as a family record. And the family has sort of grown. Was that part of the process of making this record?
Well, I mean, I think that, I think that more than them, than being inspired by having kids to write this kind of music, I think I was more inspired to, you know, I felt like I had to sort of take the bull by the horns and make my own record. I think just honestly, coincidentally, luckily for them, it was, you know, not like a raunchy biker rock record that I wanted to make. It was more like something that's like sort of G-rated and that suits that maybe in a couple of years they like it.
Is there a raunchy biker rock record from you that
you know
has
who
also
knows?
Been percolating?
I hope not, but you never know.
We're speaking with Walter Martin. The album comes out on May 13th. It's called We're All Young Together. And lots of guests. I mean, your extended musical family here is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, playing in bands for a long time in New York, you definitely get to know a lot of the other people doing it. So when I was first putting it together, I was, you know, the idea of, like, trying to disguise, hide behind other people's voices was very appealing to me.
Uh-huh.
So I just thought, you know, I got to ask great people who I thought were really great singers to come join me. And luckily, I got a bunch of them to do it.
So you got Matt from The National, Alec from Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah,
yeah.
Karen O.
Right,
from
yeah. Yeah.
And none of these people are the lead vocals. It's still you up front.
Right. Yeah, right. I know. Matt has from The National has the part where he's like sings the really low voice and doing like very deadpan as sort of the role of like a bunch of animals, which I honestly think if I was a kid and I heard it, I think that you might think that he was like an animal, you know? So I thought that was funny. Just because he's, you know, a lot of, you know, I just really like that. He has a very dramatic sounding voice.
And Hamilton from The Walkmen.
Yeah, yeah. Who's my cousin, yeah.
Who is your cousin, and therefore it is still a family record.
Exactly, right.
Okay. How many kids do you have?
I have two.
And how old are they?
They are 4.5 months and, like, 19 months.
Okay. So a little young for you to have, like, road tested these songs on
them. Right. Yeah, no. Yeah, too young for that.
Okay. So who did you test them on?
My wife.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it.
Okay.
And my brother. I play for my brother and my mother and my wife.
Right. So it you got family approval?
And for, you know, like manager and people like that. I did get some approval, so it made me feel good.
So, Walter, the Walkmen said they were on extreme hiatus and then immediately, like, went out and did a couple of shows. So are you now officially on hiatus?
We definitely are, yeah. Okay. But if somebody offers us a fun show to do, we'll do it, probably.
All right. Now, speaking of fun shows, March 28th, you're at Soho Housing Works with songwriter and novelist Wesley Stace.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And author Sam Lipside as well. The actual CD release party, though, for this album will be May 16th.
May 16th at Joe's Pub.
The album is called We're All Young Together, comes out on May 13th. We're getting a preview here in the Soundcheck studio today. You want to do Sing to Me next?
Yes, we're going to do that.
Now, on the record, this is the song you do with Karen O.
Exactly, yeah. But I'm going to do it with just me singing it and just these guys. It's sort of the dudes only version.
All right. Walter Martin making his way back to the guitar. The dudes include Jamie Krentz playing the upright bass and Josh Kaufman on electric guitar. Here's the song. It's called Sing to Me. It'll be on the new record from Walter Martin when it comes out in May, but here's a live performance in the Soundcheck studio today.
That's okay, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Butterflies. They fill my guts when I look in your eyes. A heart that's young is filled with sweet surprise. Only the innocent can sympathize. I don't care about the funny way you wear your hair. Someday you'll let me put my comb up there. Till then you're beautiful and I just stare. Sing another lonely line with me. Sing it in a lazy melody. There's no words to say just how I feel. So it's just your little, little, little. Your little, 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 little. Your little, 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 little. Every day, I listen to the funny things you say. I hope you never ever change your ways. Let's take a wander through the world today. Well, I like all of you. I'd like to roll up in a ball of you. I'd like to breach the castle wall of you.
and sing a concert in a hall of you. We'll sing another lonely line with me, sing it in a lazy melody. There's no words to say just how I feel. So it's just yodel-lay-lay-lay-lay.
Song is called Sing to Me from Walter Martin. It'll be on his new record, We're All Young Together, which comes out in May. But we're getting a preview, some live performances here in the Soundcheck studio from Walter and his band. And up next, we'll have another song from the forthcoming record. Again, Walter is performing at the Soho Housing Works on March 28th with songwriter Wesley Stace and author Sam Lipsight. And then the CD release party, the concert performance at Joe's Pub on May 16th. This next song is called Imagination. Once again, it's Walter Martin and friends live on Soundcheck.
Dream up a dream, and the night's not as dark as it seems. Behind these eyes, there's a place where the elephants fly. Tangerines talk, and the sycamore trees they walk. Where I look down my drain, and watch the clouds making the rain. Where the moon and the stars kept in a jelly jar, till I open it up and pour a little into my cup. Then I take down my clock and I loosen the screws, and I wind the hands back to 1502. I am a G-I-M-A-T-I-I-O-O-N. I am a G-I-M-A-T-I-I-O-O-N. Take me in. Father dear, what's that melody you put in my ear? You're not much of a singer, but it's the sweetest sound that I'll ever hear. And it soothes me to sleep. Oh, Papa, you know how I love to snooze. 'Cause that's when I see just what my little mind can do. I am a G-I-M-A-T-I-I-O-O-N. I am a G-I-M-A-T-I-I-O-O-N. Take me in.
Imagination from Walter Martin, playing the guitar with Jamie Krentz on bass and Josh Kaufman on electric guitar, and once again, everybody singing here in the Soundcheck studio. That song will be on Walter Martin's new record, We're All Young Together, which comes out in May. Walter, your kids are growing up so lucky with the amount of music, like decent music, that's available for parents now to play to young kids.
Yeah, really.
I mean, what did you listen to as a kid growing up?
I mean, I've been told that we listened to, like, those Pete Seeger records. I actually have our, I still have our Pete Seeger records.
Yeah, that's great.
They're really scratched. My parents are really bad about the records, but so they're very scratched up. But I do have them. And we listened to, you know, the Beatles. We really did listen to a lot of, I definitely remember listening to the Beatles. My parents were rock and roll fans, so right. We listened to the Beatles and I guess we listened to Bob Dylan, though I don't really remember it until I actually got into it myself. But, you know.
Yeah.
My parents liked music.
That's a little rough for, like, a two-year-old to try.
Right, yeah. Right.
Ballad of a Thin Man. What's going on?
Exactly.
Well, Walter, good luck with the new recording coming out.
Thank you.
We're All Young Together. Thank you for bringing the guys in and playing for us today.
Yeah, thank the fellas for coming here. Great.
And we'll hear a little bit from The Beatles, When Ringo Shook His Mop, from Walter Martin.
Georgie is sweeter than honey.
Honey.
Ringo's really wild and funny.
Funny.
Girls, they think Paul's cute, and I think I'd agree. John's songs are dark and pretty. Paul's songs are sweet little ditties. Ringo's silly, and Georgie's come from the Far East. The Beatles beat.
Later on the show, we'll explore the dream pop genre known as shoegaze. But first, we'll get a pick three playlist of favorite songs from AP writer Mesfin Fikadu. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The AP, the Associated Press, usually has its pulse on all the major news events of the day, and that includes music. So this week's Pick 3 music playlist comes from Mesfin Fikadu, music reporter for the Associated Press. Mesfin, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, thanks for having me. How's it going?
So, it seems like we've already begun in 2014 to see what the big music stories are going to be, and most of them revolve around Pharrell Williams' hat. But aside from that, what have you been following there at the AP in the music world?
Well, you did mention Pharrell, so let's talk about him. He, you know, coming off an Oscar nomination, Happy, his number one hit. It's probably the longest number one hit so far this year. He's produced from, you know, obviously two of the biggest hits last year, won 4 Grammys, and now he has his own album, which they decided to strategically release the day after the Oscars. So he has so much going on. He's composing the Spider-Man soundtrack, and he's working with everyone from Kendrick Lamar to Rick Ross. There's almost no one that Pharrell isn't working with. You're part of the outcast if you're not working with Pharrell.
So he is one of the big music stories of the year already.
Oh, he's because last year he stretched with those two big hits, and then starting this year off with the Grammy wins.
The two, just to remind people, Blurred Lines with Robin Thicke.
Blurred Lines, yes, and Get Lucky.
Get Lucky with Daft Punk.
Right, two of the biggest hits, and now he has his own song that's a huge hit. Oscar nomination, Grammy wins, his album is out, it debuted at number 2 on the charts. So I really think he's going to stretch all that success throughout the year. He's gone on tour with Bruno Mars, who is such a great artist and talented artist and kind of a genre-defying artist, so that's such a good person for him to open for on a tour, you know, versus going out on his own. But I'm pretty sure he'll go out on his own afterwards. So I think Pharrell is looking at the sky is the limit.
All right, so now Mesfin, your playlist for us, your pick 3, is a group of songwriters who are also singers, and you've given us one for the past, one for the present, one for the future, and the past person is, in fact, Pharrell. Why would you consider him to be in the past when he is so much a part of the present?
I would say, you know, he's part of the past, present, and future. But I pick him for the past because I feel like he really wants to take time to be a front man, to be a band leader, for you to listen to his own music in addition to listen to the music that he's helping other people create. Mm-hmm. And his album, Girl, is an amazing album. And it debuted at number 2, sold a little over 100,000, which I think is a little surprising because he's kind of the man of the moment. But I think sometimes producers have a hard time selling their own music. Will.i.am has had this issue before where he's produced all the hits for the Black Eyed Peas. He's produced hits for John Legend and other artists. But when he releases his own album, people just aren't as interested. Mm-hmm. So I think with Pharrell, people need to give him a chance to actually listen to his own album and not have to think of him as part of, oh, with Robin Thicke or with Beyonce or with Daft Punk. It's like, no, it's Pharrell. He can be a solo star. And that's why I think I was putting the songwriting in the past because he is very much in the present alone.
Right. Okay. And of course, a guy with a long past as half of the production team known as the Neptunes, if you go back that far.
Right.
Let's hear a little bit from Pharrell Williams' album Girl. This track is called Marilyn Monroe.
This one goes out to all the lovers. What can we do? Helpless romantics, we cannot help who we're attracted to. So let's all dance and elevate each other.
Dear diary,
oh, dear diary.
It's happening again.
Happening again.
This energy,
all that energy.
Like I'm about to win.
I'm about to win.
I just close my eyes.
I close my eyes.
She's
yeah.
Everything I want.
Everything that I want.
It's crystal clear. Not even Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe.
Pharrell Williams and his brand new album, Girl. The song is called Marilyn Monroe. Mesfin Fekadu, music reporter for the AP, the Associated Press, sharing a Pick 3 playlist with us on Soundcheck today. I should tell you, Mesfin, that some of our Soundcheck producers, we do these occasional knee-jerk reaction things at soundcheck.org, and our producer Katie Bishop's knee-jerk reaction to the album, she wrote this, "But beware of actually switching on your conscious, higher-thinking, decision-making brain while spinning, girl. You might actually pick out lines like, Duck Dynasty's cool and all, but they got nothing on a female's call." So, you know, I guess it's a, you were wondering why it sold only 100,000 and debuted only at number 2 instead of number 1. Maybe there are people who, you know, sort of are happy enough to listen to Happy and not so crazy about the rest of it.
Right. I think that's very much fair. I think he still has a lot to prove as a solo star, but I do think he has the talent to be a band leader.
Yeah. All right. So again, your playlist is people who were known first as songwriters, producers of songs for other people, but are also making a go of it as front men and women themselves. And up next is Sia, who I think some of us first heard as part of the 07 band, but, you know, she's gone on to do so much with so many other people, right?
Yes, she's kind of like, I think of her now as a female Dr. Luke, but she's also worked with Beyonce. She's worked with all the girls who have released albums in the last 2 years have called her, from Rihanna to Katy Perry. Christina Aguilera has actually worked with her for years. Britney Spears, she's executive producing the new Kylie Minogue album. She has a couple songs on the new Lea Michele album, which, you know, it's her big debut album after being on Broadway and starring on Glee for years.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also worked with people from Neo to Flo Rida, obviously to David Guetta. But I think working with Beyonce, too, is kind of a big moment because the song that they worked with was the opening track on this surprise Beyonce album. So she was kind of introducing the world to new music with a song that Sia had written for her.
And that's the song Pretty Hurts?
That is Pretty Hurts, exactly.
All right, this is Beyonce singing a song written for her by Sia.
Down, down, down. Pretty hurts.
from Beyoncé's last album, the one, the surprise release that came out in December. That's the opening track, called Pretty Hurts, written by Sia, the Australian-born singer and songwriter. And Mesfin Fekadu, music reporter of the AP, sharing a Pick 3 playlist with us. Sia is on it. Now, that's her song, but clearly, Mesfin, that's not her voice. We have heard her voice. I mean, Titanium by David Guetta, that was like a huge international hit that featured Sia.
Yeah, it was an anthem. So was Wild Ones with Flo Rida. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting because she, you know, she's released a bunch of albums. I think her last album came out in 2008 or 2009, We Are Born, which is an amazing, upbeat album. And after that, that's when she decided to just start writing for people. And I think the calls just keep coming in and the names just keep getting bigger and bigger. But now we're going to see her return to the stage as a singer because she has a new single called Chandelier, which is an amazing, upbeat, radio-friendly track. I think we'll finally see Sia on the top of the charts as a solo star.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the brand new single from Sia called Chandelier.
I'm the one for a good time call, phones blowing up, ring on my doorbell, I feel the love, I feel the love.
Little bit of Chandelier, that's brand new, a single from the Australian singer and songwriter Sia, who is part of Mesfin Fekadu's Pick 3 playlist for us on Soundcheck today. Sia, best known in recent years as either a songwriter for others or a guest vocalist for people like David Guetta and Flo Rida. And so Mesfin, we've talked about Pharrell, we've talked about Sia. Who else you got for us? You going to look ahead for this next one?
Yeah, so the group AWOL Nation, which is led by songwriter and singer Aaron Bruno, they've had this huge hit with the song Sail, which was originally released in 2011. It's still on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, a week behind Imagine Dragons' Radioactive on breaking the record as the longest-running song in the history.
Wow.
I don't think a lot of people know who AWOL Nation is or who Aaron Bruno is, but it's this really talented singer who self-produces and writes all of the music. It's a mix of alternative beats, rock beats, electronic, hip-hop, soul. The album, I feel like, it kind of reminds me of The Killers, but it also reminds me of a lot of other artists, and he has been getting calls to work with a lot of people because Sail is such a huge hit, but it's not a typical radio-friendly song. And I know that even Steve Perry has had conversations with him about working on new music, and I know that he's been talking to people about producing for them, and I think that we could probably see him working with some major rock folks in the future.
So does Aaron Bruno from AWOL Nation, is he at a fork in the road where he needs to decide, do I stick with my own band and my own stuff, or do I answer these calls and start writing for other people?
I think that he wants to do both, but I think what's more important is making sure this second album, which will follow up Sail and their first album, making sure that he finishes that and he's happy with that album. But I think at the same time, he's kind of taken back by like, wow, Steve Perry. Yeah, I mean, Steve Perry has called me to work with him and we've become friends. And I think that some of these opportunities are things you can't pass up.
Right. All right. So what should we hear from AWOL Nation and Aaron Bruno?
So their album came out in 2011, but they did re-release it late last year with this new song, The Kid's Not All Right, and it's grungy, it's fun, it's anthemic, it's upbeat. It's just such a cool tune.
All right, from the band AWOL Nation, led by singer and songwriter Aaron Bruno. Led by frontman and songwriter Aaron Bruno, and a song called The Kid's Not All Right. And as Mesfin Fikadu has been telling us, his playlist, his Pick 3 playlist, featuring songwriters who are also singers, and Aaron Bruno beginning to get calls from other folks to write songs for them, so he'll have some juggling to do in the future. Mesfin, a final question for you. Is there anyone out there you can think of who's a great songwriter, has had great success writing for others, and when trying to perform his or her own material has, you know, mixed results?
A couple people who are on the rise, still trying to make it. One example is an R&B singer named Seven Streeter. She's written, she co-wrote Ariana Grande's The Way, which was her big, you know, top 10 pop single, and she's written for Chris Brown, and she's written for other people. She's still working to establish herself as a front woman, as an artist, where people are not like, hey, you know, I like the songs that you write, but I'm not sure about you.
Well, we've certainly heard that people like Pharrell and now the Australian singer Sia have been able to make that transition from songwriter to front person to lead singer. And we'll see what happens with Aaron Bruno of the band AWOL Nation. Mesfin Fikadu, music reporter of the Associated Press, has been sharing his Pick 3 playlist with us today. Mesfin, good to have you with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is Soundcheck. A bit of Ariana Grande's The Way, which was written by Seven Streeter, an up-and-coming songwriter who may yet break out as a performer in her own right, according to our last guest, Mesfin Fikadu. Up next, it's dreamy guitars, blurry lyrics, hypnotic songs, as we offer up the Soundcheck Guide to Shoegaze. That's next. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This influential Anglo-Irish band, My Bloody Valentine, created a modern classic with their 1991 album Loveless. Then they disappeared for over 10 years. But the sound of that album continued via dozens of other bands who came under its influence, all of which got lumped together under the not very helpful name Shoegaze. Now, recently, MBV, My Bloody Valentine, has resurfaced, and so has the shoegaze sound in a number of recent releases. So, it's high time for one of our Soundcheck guides, and joining me here in the studio is the writer Tom Hawking. You can read his take on shoegaze on soundcheck.org, and he's here with today's Soundcheck Guide to Shoegaze. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
So we'll, as we do with these Soundcheck guys, we'll run through some of the basics, hear some deep cuts, maybe even a track better left unheard. But tell us first where this comes from.
Well, shoegaze is a sound that originated in the late 80s, early 90s in Britain. It grew out of psychedelic rock, and also out of, I think, a lot of the records that came out on 4AD in the mid
4AD record label, yeah.
Yeah, like dream pop, this very kind of hypnotic, immersive sound. But I would say that shoegaze really started with the first My Bloody Valentine record, which was called Isn't Anything. And it has a really interesting synthesis of very harsh kind of, you know, almost distorted, unpleasant guitar sounds, yeah, and really pretty melodies.
So is that one of the, is that the sort of the basic defining characteristic of shoegaze? Is this?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And we hear it right away in action in the very first album by My Bloody Valentine called Isn't Anything.
Touch your head, then your head, softer, softer everywhere, fingertips are burning, can I touch you there? Soft as velvet, eyes can see, bring me close to ecstasy, higher into heaven, and I'm coming to you.
The song's called Soft as Snow But Warm Inside, 1988 album by the band My Bloody Valentine. And the album called Isn't Anything was their debut. It would be followed up by Loveless, which, yep, Tom, is considered sort of the masterpiece of the genre still these days.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the harsh, distorted guitar sounds, you just get like a wall of them by the time they get to Loveless.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of interesting. It's a sort of a latter-day equivalent of Phil Spector's Wall of Sound, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it's just this huge kind of crushing volume.
Now, there were some bands before My Bloody Valentine that, in retrospect, you could the Jesus and Mary Chain,
yep, definitely,
for one. But you could probably go all the way back to the Velvet Underground, couldn't,
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you totally could. Lou Reed tuned his guitar all in D once and just, you know, played a massive kind of drone that definitely you can hear in these sorts of bands.
So where does the term shoegaze come from?
It came from the NME, I believe, at the
New
time.
Music Express,
yeah,
in London.
And was originally a way of kind of disparaging these bands, that they just stood there and gazed at their shoes and did nothing on stage. But they kind of adopted it as a mark of pride, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was that they didn't want to be demonstrative and rock stars. They just wanted to play this music, which was immersive in its own right.
Well, and I suppose it wasn't that they were gazing at their shoes. What were they really gazing at when they were looking at the floor?
Their pedals.
The pedals, the effects pedals that,
yep,
created all,
absolutely,
the waves of distortion. So shoegaze, very much a media formulation, like all of the isms that have come in music before,
indeed,
except,
indeed,
that this time the musicians sort of grabbed onto it.
Yeah, I think, you know, as with all genre descriptors, they had a pretty ambivalent kind of relation to it. Like, some bands kind of embraced it, some bands didn't,
yeah,
like it and would prefer not to be called it, but yeah.
All right, so Tom Hawking here with us, senior editor at Flavor Wire, where he writes about pop music and culture, and he's here with the Soundcheck Guide to Shoegaze. So let's talk about some of the other kind of formative bands,
mm-hmm,
in the genre. Who is Ride?
So Ride were another band who came very much at the start of, I guess, what you'd call the shoegaze wave.
And this is late 80s,
this
early
90s? This is late 80s. Their first album and their best one, I think, was called Nowhere. It came out in 1990. They made three other albums, and as with the shoegaze movement in general, I think they kind of lost focus. So, yeah, their best record is definitely their first one.
And do we hear that My Bloody Valentine's
We do,
influence?
Yeah. I chose this one because it does sound a lot like My Bloody Valentine. It's got a similar harsh kind of guitar sound, but also a similar really lovely melody under it.
The song is called Polar Bear from the band Ride.
Welcome in mine.
song is called Polar Bear from the 1990 album Nowhere by the English band Ride. Another example of early shoegaze music. Tom Hawking here with the soundcheck guide to shoegaze. You said, Tom, that the movement sort of lost focus as the 90s progressed. So where would the bookends be for the shoegaze period?
I would say the beginning would be the 87, 88, mm-hmm. and the end of it came 92, 93, around then.
So not that long a run.
No, it was a pretty short-lived movement, honestly. I think in England it was kind of overtaken by Britpop, where you had these very charismatic singers and intelligible lyrics and, right. and pretty much everything that shoegaze didn't have, bless it.
Right.
And
so bands like Oasis.
Yeah, and, exactly. And Suede.
And in fact, Oasis, there's a connection to
yes.
the band we just heard.
Yeah, indeed. Andy Bell, who was in Ride, ended up playing bass in Oasis,
mm-hmm.
which is... it's kind of sad, to be honest.
But so a short run, but a very long tail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very long influence.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And then there's been a resurgence of interest in it of okay. late with the movement that people are calling New Gaze.
All right. But let's back to the original shoegaze bands. You also picked a group called Chapter House. Now, this is 1991,
yes.
so we're getting towards the end of the... But this is also yep. when Loveless came out.
Yeah, definitely.
The acknowledged masterpiece in the style.
Yeah, I think it's not unusual for a movement to kind of peak and start declining at the same time, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter House are interesting because this is very much what you'd call the quintessential shoegaze sound, I think. It doesn't have the harsh edges that the early My Bloody Valentine stuff has. It has the same immersiveness, but it's a lot softer, warmer kind of sound. Mm-hmm. And this album really didn't do very well, and I don't know why, because it pretty much encapsulates everything that people liked about shoegaze, but I think perhaps it just arrived too late.
1991, the album Whirlpool, well, it would have been up against the My Bloody Valentine album, Loveless.
Yeah, indeed.
But let's hear from Chapter House in a song called Breather. Chapter House from their 1991 album Whirlpool and a song called Breather. So again, Tom, we have that classic shoegaze combination, these very lush, dreamy, pop-style harmonies
yep.
buried in a mix
yep.
of this kind of wall of electric guitar sounds.
Absolutely, yeah.
All done with various effects pedals and yep. stuff like that.
Lots of reverb.
So that's that. Can we say that's like one of the deeper cuts? You know?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think Chapter House are one of these bands that shoegaze nerds appreciate,
right.
But if you ask the man on the street to name, a couple of bands from that movement, I think Chapter House probably wouldn't be at the top of the list.
Let's get away from England. At what point does shoegaze happen in America?
That's interesting because shoegaze, I think, was originally influenced by American bands. Like in his book, A Band Could Be Your Life, Michael Azarad talks about Dinosaur Jr. Mm-hmm. touring England and they have a very similar mix of, very harsh kind of guitar sounds and poppy kind of melodies.
And again, it goes back to the Velvet Underground.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting that shoegaze never really took off on this side of the Atlantic, I don't think. Or not the first time around anyway, because a lot of the kind of newer shoegaze bands these days are definitely American. But there was the occasional band, and Medicine was one of them. They were really great. And the guitarist, Jim Putnam, actually went on to form Radar Brothers, who were one of my all-time favorite bands. So.
Mm. But Medicine, from 1992, they had this album called Shot Forth Self-Living.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually back, aren't they?
Yes,
back
indeed
on the
they
scene.
Are. Yeah. Yeah, they reformed last year, I think.
And, of course, so did My Bloody Valentine
indeed.
With their new record that came out in 2012. The first generation of shoegaze is now the second generation of shoegaze. But this is from that 1992 album by the American group called Medicine. band is Medicine, a song called Aruka from their 1992 album Shot Forth Self-Living. Medicine is actually back in business, a shoegaze band based here in the States. Tom Hawking, senior editor at FlavorWire, has written about shoegaze. You can read his take on the subject at soundcheck.org, and he's here helping us present our soundcheck guide to shoegaze. This band was actually known in some circles as the American My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah.
Because of that combination, the harsh distortion of the guitars. And then again, this kind of lovely, kind of pop harmony thing.
Yeah, you can definitely hear the similarities. Yeah. I think it's always a bit reductive to say a band is the American so-and-so or vice versa. But
yeah,
there's definitely a comparison to be made.
And you know, even today, now you talked about new gays. Even today, there are bands like in Scotland, the Twilight Sad,
mm-hmm.
A bunch of guys who obviously had those My Bloody Valentine records and spent some time figuring out how did they make those sounds.
I mean, I'd love to know, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, no disrespect to the Twilight Sad.
No,
who,
I mean,
who I like a
definitely,
lot.
Definitely.
But this stuff can get kind of noisy. So,
sure.
Is there a point beyond which you're out of the realm of shoegaze and into the realm of noise rock?
Sure, there is. Exactly where that line lies is, you know, probably pretty nebulous. I mean, if you go to one of the new, or in fact, one of the My Bloody Valentine shows the first time around, or one of their reunion shows, like, people were kind of reeling out of those shows with, you know, clutching their heads and eardrums bleeding and stuff. Like, they're incredibly loud and incredibly noisy. So yeah, it's there's definitely some crossover.
Mm-hmm. Well, we mentioned Slow Dive just in passing before, and you know, for these sound check guides, we generally like to, you know, not just do the basics, but as we've done, some deeper cuts and a track that kind of shows the darks, you know, when things go off the rails slightly. And actually, we are going to hear a Slow Dive track. Now, this is another great band.
Yeah, definitely.
But what's happening in Souvlaki Space Station, apart from a ridiculous title?
The title's part of the problem. But honestly, I came to shoegaze kind of late in life. I was a very earnest teenager, and I liked music that had kind of capital L lyrics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a big fan of this band, Manic Street Preachers, and Richie Edwards, who was the guitarist, once said, you know, I hate Slow Dive more than I hate Hitler. and I think what people came to resent about the movement and...
So you just had to figure out, what is this Slow Dive that he hates even more than
absolutely.
Hitler?
Absolutely. And it does have a tendency to disappear up its own rear end at times. And I think this song... You know, for all that it's not a terrible song, it does embody that. I mean, you're calling the song Souvlaki Space Station, and it's... Yeah,
you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
The band is Slow Dive from their 1993 record Outside Your Room. Slow Dive, a song called, unfortunately, Souvlaki Space Station from their 1993 record Outside Your Room. We're talking about the shoegaze movement, big in the late 80s, early 90s, then sort of disappeared, as Tom Hawking has told us, only to come back with a real vengeance in the last couple of years. Now, you mentioned this term newgaze, spelled N-U-gaze. Who were some examples of that?
I would say the Pains of Being Pure at Heart, definitely. There was also School of Seven Bells, although sadly Ben Curtis died, so they're no longer performing. And then there's bands from all around the world. There's a great band out of Australia, out of my home country, called Low Tide. I can't claim to know a great deal about them, to be honest. I put out the word to my kind of shoegaze nerd friends in Australia, look, you know, who's good these days? And they pretty much unanimously told me that we should listen to Low Tide, so... Listen to Low Tide, we shall.
All right. Underneath Tonight is the name of the song. Tom, thanks very much for being with us.
Such a pleasure, man.
This is Soundcheck. That's the band Low Tide with their song Underneath Tonight. And we hope you like the Soundcheck Guide to Shoegaze. We want to hear your ideas for an artist, album, or genre that we should dive into. Send us an email, soundcheck@wnyc.org, or call us at 866-939-1612. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk with the married duo behind a new Tumblr site called My Husband's Stupid Record Collection. Plus, New Albany, Indiana's finest, Houndmouth. They take garage rock and old-timey sing-along and make them sway together. They'll play live in the studio. That does it for the show today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.